This podcast may contain content that may be alarming or triggering to some listeners, including suicide, violence, trafficking, adolescent pregnancy, and homelessness. Please check the show's notes for more detailed descriptions and take care of yourself. Welcome to Red Bean Baby, where the only thing more New Orleans than red beans and rice on a Monday is Red Bean Baby, the podcast that discusses parenting at Covenant House. Red Bean Baby is your opportunity to hear conversation amongst those with lived experiences and subject matter experts on a variety of social justice and public policy issues. Covenant House New Orleans is dedicated to serving all youth with unconditional love and absolute respect, helping youth experiencing homelessness, and protecting and safeguarding all youth in need. I'm your host, Joya, a former resident and parent of Maternal Pathways at Covenant House New Orleans, bringing you all the guests and topics surrounding youth, life without housing, first-time parents, and so much more. So grab your cafe au lait and settle in for another episode of Red Bean Baby. And welcome to another episode of the Red Bean Baby podcast. My name is Joya and I'm your host, and I am sitting here with Miss Jenny and Miss Sue. How are y'all doing today?
Great.
Very well, thank you.
That's good. And I'm going to just let y'all go one at a time, introduce yourselves, and tell us about the organizations that you work for. Miss Jenny, if you want to start.
Sure. I'm Jenny Evans, and I represent the Parenting Center in my parent group at Covenant House. So I was at the Parenting Center for about 20 years, up until about 3 years ago, when I decided to go back to the classroom. So by day, I am a toddler teacher, but I couldn't let go of Miss Ebony and the wonderful 2Gen group at Covenant House. So I still represent the Parenting Center at the Covenant House doing the parent group.
Nice, nice. And Miss Sue?
My name is Sue McGee, and I'm with Devoted Dreamers Foundation, and we help young people get to their next level and live their dreams. We give resources spiritually, mentally, and physically to just help them get to the next level, to live out the life that they have dreamed of since little kids.
Okay. And then if you all want to go and tell us also how you got involved with Covenant House. Miss Sue, I'll let you go first, since we know, Miss Jenny, that you still love Covenant House.
Well, we're kind of transplants to New Orleans, and so we got here, and my son and daughter-in-law just really wanted to be a part of the community. So they were looking for organizations that they could partner with, and they partnered with Covenant House, and we helped them at Christmas time with their Christmas party for the people who are living at the Covenant House.
Oh, nice. That's nice.
So the Parenting Center is a Department of Children's Hospital serving all different kinds of parents, right? We taught classes. We got invited to all different schools to talk to parents of children of all ages. We were approached by the executive director of Covenant House at the time when we started. We're thinking 10, 11, 12 years ago. It's been such a wonderful ride that I'm losing track. But and then I think we all, if I'm honest, I think we all went in a little bit naively. So his intention was that we would go onto the women's floor and meet with the parents on that floor and do some kind of a parenting class. So as we got more experienced and learned more from the moms who are there, we have developed a program that has a lot more to do with parent support. So I guess the answer is we were originally invited in to do some sort of parent training, which is not at all what the population really wants and appreciates. So instead we're providing more of a supportive hour in their week to be a mom and to love being a mom.
Right. And I was there for a parenting class, and I can say it definitely helped me. There are definitely some, I guess you can call them barriers between like what people think is good parenting and what could actually be considered good parenting just based off of like how you were brought up or how you were raised. Because I know that definitely changed my perspective coming to Covenant House and actually hearing like it's okay for you to go take 2 minutes and let them cry versus like getting mad and screaming. And now we're both like at the top of our lungs upset because I don't know the difference between they're just frustrated because it's nap time and now I'm frustrated because they're screaming. So I definitely appreciate the parenting class. Shout out to parenting class.
Okay.
But what are some of y'all's favorite resources for young parents? Whoever likes to start first.
Well, being a young parent, resources that I used at the time that I had my son were government assistance. And I say that because I still worked. My family was big on, even though you have a baby and even though you're young, mm-hmm. you still can get a job.
Yep.
But I needed supplements. So WIC was good for me. Head Start was good for me. Pell Grant, because my family did allow me to go on to college. They even encouraged that. So as a mother, I was able to get a Pell Grant and go on to college because I wanted life better for my son.
Yeah,
so government assistance was very good for me. That was good resources that helped me further my life so that his life could be better too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm gonna just say yes.
Yes,
Miss Sue.
Yes.
But then I think that keeping in mind the critical word young, right? Young mm-hmm. parents are unique in that the world isn't quite ready for them the same way that they may or may not be quite ready for parenthood. So all of those kinds of assistance. The other thing that I hope I'm doing at Covenant House and that Ms. Sue is certainly doing with the Dreamers program is providing a kind of a small M mentorship. Mm-hmm. So being there so that young parents can see, I believe in you. I know you can do this. Mm-hmm. I also know it's going to be different. We often get come around in our parent group to a conversation, can't see me on the radio, but I'm pinching the front of my forehead, where we have to say, your brain isn't quite closed yet. Mm-hmm. And now you have this toddler whose brain is wide open.
Yep.
So if you're both having a fit, that makes perfect sense. Let's talk about both of your brains. So I think the kind of supportive and mentoring environment is even more important for young parents than it is for older parents.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's very important, and I echo that again, that in my day that was not, when my son was born, we did not have that, and that was really a missing element, and that's why we focused on that too today, mentorship and helping young people understand the path that they want to go on. Because as a young parent, you don't know. Like you said, our brains are not mature. So decision making is different as a young mother, mm-hmm. 16, than a regular 16-year-old.
Yeah.
So you want to be able to make decisions and even interacting with adults. You're not interacting as a regular 16-year-old. You're acting as a mother, 16-year-old. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So those are things that people need to keep in mind when you're dealing with young mothers. They are still young teenage children, but they are young mothers.
Yeah.
So there's a gap, but then there's also a place where it has to meet.
Yeah.
And so these programs and resources that are in place today are so fortunate mm-hmm. for these young mothers that I didn't have. And so I am appreciative for all of those resources, and being able to come into the Covenant House and just see that really blessed me, because I haven't been able to see a whole lot of it. And so I'm just thankful to be able to be a part of it.
Absolutely. And Ms. Sue, I had the pleasure of just glancing over just real quick the work that y'all do as well. And I know we talk a lot about young mothers, but what support systems do y'all also have in place for young fathers who are trying to like navigate through not only just being a father, but also figuring out what it is to be an actual man and make those decisions and maybe get a job or go to school or whatever it is that they want to strive for?
Yes, we don't have a lot of fathers in the program. What we're trying to do is prevent them from becoming young fathers. We had one, and we did support him through making sure that he had the mentoring, mm-hmm. the support of the mentors to help him in his mind mentally, because he was still thinking as a young man,
yeah.
a young man that was really not on the track to be a father. He still wanted to live out all of his life, in which he can, but he has to do that thinking about that he had a little son mm-hmm. that was coming up behind him. So the mentorship aspect of our program was very important to him versus the physical part mm-hmm. that we offer. So we want to make sure we supported him in that way, the spiritual and the mental and the emotional. Yeah. A lot of people think that, you know, girls are more emotional than guys, and we don't put a lot of effort into their emotions. But we want to develop their emotions as well. Absolutely. We don't want to push those to the side. We want them to understand that it's okay, like you were saying, to be frustrated, to cry, you know, to love your son or your daughter, to hug them and put those emotions onto them, even if you didn't get it as a child.
Right.
So we want to teach them those things.
Okay. Well, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. And how has working with Children's Hospital been impactful for the Parenting Center?
Well, the Parenting Center is a department of Children's Hospital. So mm-hmm. we do provide a link between Covenant House and the families who are there. And that actually has been built on at Covenant House. So mm-hmm. they've developed several other links with Children's Hospital. But as far as the support for the Parenting Center, it's just the actual outreach support that Children's Hospital provides through the Parenting Center. It's one of the few pure community-based non-medical programs that Children's Hospital provides, which okay. is nice.
And I know we talk a lot about young parenting, and I know I mentioned in a podcast a while back about possibly being a helicopter parent. I don't even know if I'm using the right term for myself. I could be another type of parent. But what type of trends are y'all noticing with parenting that's like catching on with young parents?
So as a toddler teacher in my other life, we are definitely seeing parents who are I'm going to sound judgy, but if somebody is over-involved in the steps that their children are taking, then it makes a difference in how their children act as far as their independence. But I will say that when I'm at Covenant House, it feels a little bit less like helicopter, traditional helicopter, as you would see defined in parenting books, and a little bit more like sincerely overprotective. Mm-hmm. So I think as a young person who is in a shelter and has children who depend on them, I can feel them kind of closing in around their children. You actually gave an example earlier of if a child is crying, if a child won't nap, how many eyes are on you on the floor
yeah.
saying, why can't she do this? Why can't she get this straight? So I do kind of feel like as much as we can, roll our eyes at somebody who is over-parenting in whatever way that is, I also feel like when I'm on the floor at Covenant House that I honor that.
Yeah.
There's a lot that they come to the group with, and obviously every parent who comes to the group is different in their own way, mm-hmm. but there are some commonalities. Some of them are bringing, as you said, their experiences being parented into their role as parents. And mm-hmm. so they have to find a way to honor that, even if they don't want to repeat it. It's their family, right?
Yeah.
So I guess all of those things are the way I feel about that people's approach to taking care of their children
mm-hmm.
Can be honored at the same time you give someone strategies to build independence. We talk a lot about resilience. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about how to be connected without holding or restraining children.
Okay. And I know for me that was a big thing coming in. Like I said, the way that I was taught or was coming up being raised was discipline is a must. And mm-hmm. they don't break down what discipline looks like, because discipline can also look like, well, I'm taking this toy for 2 minutes because you threw it at me mm-hmm. versus, you know, you get a pop every single time you do something. Well, that's what I call it, but spanking every single time you do something wrong. So definitely I agree with the strategy of allowing, but then also giving the feedback to say, well, hey, you did it like that, and that's fine, but let's try to do it this way because it makes for a better outcome for mom and for baby. And then, Miss Sue, I also heard you say something earlier, and I just wanted to speak on it, about spirituality. And that also, as a parent, helps me a lot. Like, just, you know, praying with my kids or even taking them to church with my mom. And when you say spirituality, how do you help, I guess, open up that chapter for young parents in your organization for them to say, you know, I don't know how to pray, or I don't know how to incorporate these things into my child's life because it was never incorporated for me, but I want that bond.
Yes. Everything starts with a relationship. Mm-hmm. Because we do have young people that come through that have never heard about God in their household. So we have to start with a relationship, getting them to trust us as adults, getting them to trust us as people who care about them. And when we open that door, it mm-hmm. opens up a door for us to be able to talk to them, not only about spirituality, but to be able to talk to them about all their life, mm-hmm. you know, for them to know that there is someone who cares about them in their whole person. So spirituality is very important to us. That is one of our foundations as a part of the program. So we do want all of the kids to be involved in that. And we do talk about that, and we express that at the beginning. This, your child will be involved in this to be a part of the program. Mm-hmm. But to make sure that they get it and understand it and it reaches them on a heart level, mm-hmm. we have to reach them as a person yeah. on a heart level.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love that, and I respect yeah. that as well. Mm-hmm. What can, for young parents who don't know, what can the Parenting Center actually do for them to help them?
The Parenting Center provides three different kinds of services. So one of them is one of them is a collection of classes. So the Parenting Center provides some classes on site. We do some classes in the community. We're now doing some classes online. So if you go to the Parenting Center's page on Children's Hospital's website, you can see all those classes. Some are free. Some are connected to a fee. All can be free if somebody needs them to be free. The second kind of service, which is the most fun, I think, is that there is a play space for parents of children under 4. And it's open every day and some Saturdays. And it's a membership thing, but again, parents who can't pay the membership, don't pay the membership, and that's fine too. And then finally, and this is good for everyone to know, anybody can call the phone number with a question about parenting. It could be, my 6-month-old still isn't sleeping, my 2-year-old is about to get kicked out of school for biting, my 8-year-old says they hate me, my 12-year-old won't do her homework, whatever it is that falls within the broad normal range of parenting, there's a parent educator who can take your call and help you with some strategies. So all of those are services that are available to parents.
Okay, nice. All right, and how do you see the future for young parents and children of young parents? And that's a question for both of you all.
I see it as a bright future. There are so many resources. There are so many opportunities. And I just think that people are more open and honest about the situation now than yeah. in the past. So I just believe that when you become a young mother, people are more apt to talk to you about ways and pathways that you can go forward versus saying, you know, you've done this and mm-hmm. now your life can only take one direction.
Right.
So I am just so excited about all the things that people are putting in place because they are concerned about young mothers.
Yeah.
They're concerned that they start from a healthy mother coming up through their maternal phase all mm-hmm. the way up until getting their child to college.
Yeah.
And there's steps along the way and there's someone in place every step of the way. So if that mother wants to have a healthy pathway, she can find resources at every step. So I'm just excited about it.
We should have let Miss Sue go, go second with all of that hope. So it's not that I'm not hopeful, and you know, everybody in this room knows I will never give up, but I feel like the more young parents, especially young moms that I meet, the more I feel like this is on us, and we are not as a society doing what we need to do for parents. And that's true for parents in general. I raised two children and feel like I was getting knocked out of place every time I turned around. Even just the regular workforce schedule right now is not practical for parents. If you work 8 hours and have to transport there and back, then your child is in childcare for at least 9 hours. That's a stressful day for everyone. And then you get home and bond with your child for 45 seconds before they fall asleep or whatever it is. So I feel like we have to, that's how I see the future. It's going to get better when we as a society, as a culture, as an organization, as a group, whatever, do more to understand how hard it is to parent and to wrap ourselves around that role, around parents and families, no matter how they come at you, two people, nine people, whatever it is. We gotta respect and support families more than we do whatever else.
Yeah. And with that being said, how can we better educate young families on just simple parenting?
Oh, that's a very good question. I do always come back in our parent group and, you know, and in the parenting that I do all over the city or in the country to connection. So we do have to find ways to connect with our children in big ways. Like, I understand you. This is your temperament. This is my temperament. We're different, but we're going to make it through. Mm-hmm. To the small ways. How do we make eye contact? How is our physical touch read when we're around our children? So I do think that the most important message is connection, followed quickly by what you said earlier. Discipline is way overrated. When we can guide children and give them strategies to get their needs met that actually work, then we don't need as much discipline. And the crazy thing is that discipline is what breaks connection. So if we can become trusted sources for our children, that I think is the most important message for all families, but certainly for young families or stressed families.
All right. Well, I got one more question before we get ready to wrap up. And that's a very easy question. What is your favorite thing about New Orleans? Mm-hmm.
Well, my favorite thing right now is Saints football.
Go Saints.
That's what I come and go for mostly. So Saints football, I love it. I love the energy. I love the people. And the people that I have met here have been so nice and hospitable, not only with football, but everywhere I've been, I've met really nice people. So I love it.
Well, that's good. Have random people tried to feed you random food yet?
Not yet. Not yet.
Don't worry, they will.
Try it. I've been here my whole life, so my favorite thing is also the people. You know, I've gone to other places. I have a daughter who lives in another city. You just don't find the same people anywhere else.
Yeah.
I love our city.
That is true. Well, thank you, ladies, so much for coming in today and sharing stories and information about what you all do. For more information on both Miss Jenny and Miss Sue, links will be copied down below. And thank you, everyone, for listening to another episode of the Red Bean Baby Podcast. Ooh, yeah.